What it do? It's your girl Jessica Dime, and I just finished my interview with Hollywood Unlocked. Y'all gotta tune in. I went in, and you already know how I get down. No censors.
What up, everybody? This is Jason Lee, and this is Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored.
This is your girl, Davita D, baby. How y'all doing?
And your boy, Giovanni. Hold on.
And we have the one and only Jessica Dime in the building.
Yes, we damn do.
Okay, so is it Jessica Dime, Dime Peas, Jessica Dime Peas, or just Dime?
Right now, it's just Jessica Dime.
Okay.
See, and Dime Peas was the stripper.
Okay.
Jessica Dime is the TV personality, the rapper, and
so who's the girl that turns up and beats bitches up on What Love & Hip Hop when they act up?
All
is that,
above.
Woo.
Who is that girl?
That's just Jessica from Memphis. That's just Jessica from Memphis.
Well, you are a dime. I tell you that much. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you
me.
Just had a baby and you look amazing.
What?
You wow. Do. You look beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Don't try to act like you don't know.
I don't know.
He don't watch TV.
I don't watch TV.
He watches
TV.
Pornhub.
I watch Pornhub.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
congrats. Ain't no wrong with Pornhub. But
Pornhub. You got a girl or a boy?
I have a little girl.
Ooh, get ready.
First of all, she's so gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. She's 3 months old. Her name is
fresh out the oven.
She's fresh out the bun. She's the bun at the oven. She is amazing. She's healthy. She's already laughing and smiling and, you know, like, cooing and everything.
So, you're from Memphis. I've been to Memphis one time, and the only thing memorable in my trip was the Civil Rights Museum.
Oh yeah,
where Martin Luther King was murdered.
I always wanted to go there.
But like Beale Street, I had no fun in Memphis.
Really?
What is there to do in Memphis?
Juke.
Well, you know, yeah, juking is something. Juke.
My bad. I'm thinking about Chicago.
Well, you know, Memphis is a different type of city. You know, like, I love my city. I would never trade it for the world. But like you said, you got to really know what to do. Like, maybe you weren't with the right crowd on Beale Street.
No, I wasn't.
Because I go up and down Beale Street, go to Wet Willie's, get drunk.
We went to Wet Willie's. We did do that.
Go up and down the street and just talk shit all night, yeah. You know? And then, you know, in Memphis, you got the club life, the nightlife. Like.
But it's dangerous there, too, though, from what I heard. I did not know that the murder rate was so high in Memphis.
Yeah, it's not funny. I'm really disappointed in that because, you know, I like to go back home and enjoy myself, but when you're from Memphis and you're associated with people that's already from Memphis, you don't have a problem. Like, if you go with me, we can go out. It's not like people going, you going to the club and you walk out and people just going to shoot you right then and there. No, it's not like
it's
a like war
like that
zone.
In Gary.
Yeah, it's like that a lot of places. But Memphis, it's not like that. You just got to be, you might turn down the wrong street one day and get into some shit. But if you out socializing, having a good time in the nightlife with the right crowd, you're good. You're good.
So when you go home, now that you've had all this fame and success on Love & Hip Hop, do people know who you are? Is it hard to just move around?
Oh, yes. I cannot move around at all in Memphis. No.
But how does your family deal with that? Because Memphis is such a small. I remember walking from the hotel. I was at a hotel, and you probably know what hotel it is. There were ducks in the lobby.
Oh, that's where I stayed last time I went home.
What is that?
The Peabody.
That's where I stayed. I was there for a conference. And I remember walking from there to Beale Street, and I was terrified because I was like, I just want to make it
Nothing's
back.
Nothing's going to happen.
Nothing happened. But it reminded me of Mayberry. You know, like, what was that TV show?
Mayberry.
No, what's his name? Opie Taylor. Andy Griffin.
Andy Griffin.
It was like really country, really small, and everybody knows each other.
That's exactly what it is. It's like everybody knows each other. It's like a home. It's like a family in one city. Like,
that's
it's so, and you know what? The thing about Memphis is, it's so much talent in Memphis, bottled up in this little bitty city, compressed, and it's like none of them can get out because it's like crabs in a bucket. Like, you make it out of Memphis, you made it out. You know what I'm saying? So it's like going back home and going out and being in the nightlife and everything, everybody's like, hi, congratulations, and I watched the show and everything like that. But at the same time, I'm like, let me watch my back, too, because I don't know who might come doing what.
Wait, so is Kay Michelle from Memphis?
Yeah, Kay Michelle is from Memphis.
Did you guys know each other before the show?
No. I didn't know Kay Michelle in Memphis.
And I haven't followed all the Love & Hip Hop Atlanta because you guys have the most lit show out of the whole series. I feel like you guys, there's just always so much going on. And
yes.
I feel like the show has created so many stars within the show mm-hmm. that are just so big personalities. Mm-hmm. Did you guys haven't always got along, I'm assuming.
Who, me and Camille? Yeah. No. I mean, you can watch it and see that. Like, yeah. I mean, but the thing about it is, I never know why with K. Michelle. So it's like, okay, whatever. You know, I might see. I mean, I think she was staying at the same hotel I was staying at in Memphis last time I was there. And if I would have seen her,
it would have been all love.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a mother now. I don't, you know, care about the old stuff. But yeah, we have our back and forth. She got this way of thinking of stuff and how she wants you to behave and things like that, and I'm a grown woman and I'm gonna do what I want to do and I'm gonna talk how I want to talk.
I feel like all the conflict that I've seen with you is some bitch trying to tell you who the fuck to be.
Yeah,
because it was last time it was at the, I remember the time you was at the event for Tommy, and then that went left.
Oh my god, trying to tell me what to do. Don't these people know by now? Like, you cannot tell me what to do. I'm grown. You really can't tell me now because I'm a mom.
Well, that's what we're gonna get to, that, because I do feel like there's been a shift. You know, like mm-hmm. you, like, I don't want to say you grew up, because you always been a grown woman, but right. you've evolved as a woman.
I have. And if in life, you have no choice but to evolve. If you're not evolving and becoming a better person, mm-hmm. so what are you doing?
Stagnant.
You know, everybody's not perfect. I'm not I'm not an angel. I'm not, you know. Oh, thank you.
Look at you trying to
get married. She's a married woman.
She's a married woman. But I appreciate it. I'm still
with a beautiful daughter.
He loves when
a beautiful husband too.
Yes.
Well, she got a beautiful.
Let's talk about it.
He is beautiful.
So, well, go ahead. You finish. You were saying.
Oh, what were we talking about? He's knocking me out.
I know.
You're not an angel. You're not perfect.
Yeah, I'm not an angel. I'm not perfect. But you know, at the end of the day, I just try to treat people right. Do the right thing.
So are you believing in karma right now because you're a new mother? You're trying to, you know, trying to move a certain way so you won't have that karma because you're a mom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my daughter, I want to just protect her from danger seen and unseen. I don't want to do anything that might eventually come back on my daughter or my family or anything like that. So I'm just trying to move right.
Would you let Tommy babysit her?
Oh! Justin, what the hell is wrong with you?
Wait, you and Tommy beefing?
I don't beef, you know. If I'm beefing with somebody, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
So Tommy's not babysitting?
Absolutely not. Tommy don't even babysit. Come on. Do she look like she babysitting right now in life? She ain't doing no babysitting. So no, sir. Absolutely not.
Tommy's been on the show. Okay, so you guys have had like an up-down relationship.
Yeah, I don't really know Tommy like that, but we have, we've had our little... I done had my ups and downs with everybody because I ain't going.
But what's her issue that... You were cool with her, but then somehow you had tried to piece it up with Jocelyn, or somehow you were trying to resolve conflict, and somehow that created conflict.
Right. I'm trying to be the good girl.
Be the peacemaker.
Woman. Yeah, the peacemaker in the situation. And it just got taken all the way left field. But at the end of the day, I feel like people do things because they know what environment they're in, and they know they're going to get saved. They know, you know, I can't get to them at that point in time. And they know... You know, I'm a big person to defeat or to try to defeat. Like, at the end of the day, I feel like it was a up and down, but it didn't have to be how it was with us, but it is what it is. You're not going to stop me from being friends with Jocelyn or going talking to Jocelyn. And if I feel like it's dumb, which I argue over, I might mention it and be like, well, I spoke to Jocelyn and she's okay with this, or are you okay? I'm not trying to sabotage anybody by doing it. I'm really just looking at it like, we are black women. We all doing our thing. What is the beef for?
When just disclaimer, I mean, I love you. I love Tommy, and Tommy know I love her. But I got a job to do, so I got to ask questions.
Yeah, you do.
So when Tommy recently just got in a fight with that girl, and did you hear about the fight she got in the studio with that rapper?
Oh yeah,
what's that?
That's so
name?
Crazy, Akbar.
Akbar,
because Akbar texted me after it happened, like late night. No, she called me late night, and I'm like, Huh? Because it's so this is so crazy because let me tell you the backstory to Akbar. I saw Akbar at the studio and she was so nice and, you know, I'm not the person to, you know, turn my nose up at anybody. I treat the same everybody the same way. Mm-hmm. So she came to speak or whatever and I spoke to her and whatnot and she came in the studio with me for a little while. And I was like, she a cool girl, you know, I like her and whatnot. And we texted a couple of times. Then I saw her standing for K. Michelle. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, wait a minute. This might not be the right person for me to be getting
that close to.
Close to. So I kind of bagged up off her a little bit. But it wasn't no bad blood. Mm-hmm. So she called me like late night, like, call me. So I'm like, what's going on? I'm laying beside my man. Girl, what do you want? You know? So she said, I just beat the shit out that bitch. I said, what bitch? Tommy. I said, oh, okay. Because at the end of the day, it's not my business. Yeah. She not my friend and Tommy not my friend. Yeah.
And that's not your beef.
And it's not my beef. Mm-hmm. But it was funny to hear about it.
Yeah, no, I ran into Drummer Boy the other day.
That's my friend from Memphis.
I've known
that's
him
for
like 10 years.
That's who me and Akbar were in the studio with.
He was in the studio when that fight happened.
That's Memphis there. That's Memphis hometown.
So I said, what happened? And he broke it down to me. And I just said, I didn't know who Akbar was. And I didn't know she was as, she had as much street credibility as she had. Mm-hmm, apparently mm-hmm. she has a lot of love from mm-hmm. the people in the streets. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so you and Tammy.
Oh, yeah, Tammy.
Are you guys cool?
We cool.
Okay.
Me and Tammy cool. And we had our ups and downs, too, but at the end of the day, I always liked Tammy. You know, I always like, oh, she's so pretty. And, you know, I never wanted any problem with her, but it's like, girl, settle down. You know, settle down. That's how that went.
So like, there's some of you in the show, because Atlanta, I feel like, has so many big personalities. And even like Mimi, I love Mimi. I've known Mimi mm-hmm. for a while. She's chill, but she'll turn up too.
Yeah.
So how do you guys
wrong
all coexist?
Situation, yes.
How will. Do you all coexist?
That's crazy because I think it's just all a mutual respect for each other. Like we all, even though we all initially met on reality TV, we all kind of heard about each other maybe before in the streets or, you know, in the industry or whatever. So we kind of know things about each other. I kind of know about Carly beforehand. I knew, heard things about Mimi. So I just kind of like have a mutual respect for all the ladies at the end of the day. Unless they get wrong with me, you know, then I'm
get
have
wrong
to,
with them.
Yeah, and then I'm have to go ahead and shut them down. But, you know, it's really no problems with the vets and the, you know, like the Mimis and the Carlys and like that. I don't have problems.
But you're a vet too. How many seasons have you been on?
Yeah, I've been on since season 4.
And what season are you in now? Eight?
Eight.
Yeah, you've been, I mean, you're a vet.
I'm a vet.
So when I look
I'm
at
OG.
When I look at Love and Hip Hop Atlanta and then having, you know, been a part of the show here, like mm-hmm. all these motherfuckers here for the most part are part of fake. I mean, all their storylines are fake. Everything yeah. they do is fake. It be homeless motherfuckers hopping off a helicopter. So I'm like, nigga, now you know.
So in your
show though, I was always intimidated by the Atlanta show because I'm just like, okay, if I was to go to Love and Hip Hop Atlanta and do what I do mm-hmm. and have to go hard, it's gonna be all types of bullshit.
You know it. They gonna come left and right.
Left and right.
Yes, Atlanta show is like, you know.
I mean,
now
Spice is on the show, and uh-huh. she's cutting up.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Because I met Spice when we went to Jamaica the season before, and she was, like, so sweet and, like, professional and everything. So when I seen her on, you know, I wasn't really involved in a lot of the turn-up this season.
Because you were pregnant.
I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. But I was watching it, and I was like, ooh, Spice. Oh, my God. Like, don't play with Spice.
So I met her and Jock when I was just out in Atlanta, and me and Jock had been texting trying to do a project together, but He had said when he went to Houston, he goes, I honestly was shocked at how crazy Houston was because I literally thought we just going to have a nice trip to Houston.
I thought they were, too. I was like, I was back there, like, we were filming still while they were in Houston. And I was like, I hope they're not doing nothing crazy down there. You know how the trips get, you know, you let the wild animals out the cages. Mm-hmm. And they cut up.
So Estelita, Stevie mm-hmm. are... They're working together in music. I thought they were together, and then now Faith Evans is married to Stevie. So when you look at Faith Evans and Stevie's marriage, what popped in your mind? Were you just immediately like, oh, my God, I'm happy for them? Or were you like, this nigga?
Well, you know, I was automatically happy for them because this is the reason. I always knew Stevie had a thing for Faith. Mm-hmm. It was like always some kind of way she was in the background somewhere.
Singing in the background. Whether,
exactly. Whether they were doing music together or whatever. So I kind of always felt like they had a thing for each other. But now I was like, when they told me they got married in Vegas, I was like, oh, wait a minute, Stevie. Yeah. Now, you could have done better than that.
That could have been a special.
Faith. Yeah. Yes. Faith. But when it's real at the same time and you just had that feeling like you just want to, you know, you love a person, you just kind of do crazy things.
You and your husband plan out your wedding? You did the whole, like, planning?
Well, we're still planning the wedding. Oh, yeah, wedding. Like, I still
so say
my
husband.
Yeah,
right.
That's my husband, honey. You can't tell me anything.
You better
well,
claim
if you, if you watch the show, this is a guy that she's known before.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And the thing that I loved about it is because, you know, in Love and Hip Hop, they always say, don't bring nobody on the show that you're in love with because you lose them. Because it's such a turbulent show that, you know, it's going to... You can get fucked up. But I like how, like, you've had your ups and downs in the show. You've told your story. Mm-hmm. And then now you've, like, this person who you've had in your life before pops back up and now you're in love.
Right.
I love y'all.
And it's
Thank
real.
You.
I really
Wait,
do.
It's real.
So you guys
so
was,
real.
You guys were together, then you broke
no,
up.
No, we've always kind of, like, messed other. Around. We never been, like, locked
official.
Down together. Yeah, official. Mm-hmm. But we messed around for 10 plus years.
Damn.
So wow. For us to come back around and make it official and he baby. Asked me to marry him and us to have a baby is like huge.
Were you surprised?
I was very surprised. I didn't even know he was coming to Jamaica.
Mm. Wow.
I didn't have any idea that was something him and the producers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Looking at the show, this
it was real.
It was real.
Yes. Everybody thinks it's fake and they always talk about it's scripted. I'm a real bitch at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Whatever I do and whatever I have done in the past before Love and Hip Hop and whatever I'm going to do after Love and Hip Hop, I'm going to be real with whatever I do. Mm-hmm. So y'all ain't never got to worry about me doing nothing fake or me being a part of nothing fake, because I'm gonna make sure whatever I'm doing is real shit.
So now that Carly, now that Carly's engaged, do you think that's real?
Ow.
Because everybody's talking about your
I
engagement.
I love Carly, but I don't know this guy. That's the only thing. Like, I don't know this guy. Who is this guy that came out of nowhere looking like Plies talking about they engaged? I don't know who this is. But if he is good to her and she loves him and he loves her, I wish them the best, but I don't know who this is. This is supposed to be like one of my best friends, and I don't know who this is. So I don't know.
She pulled a Kenya Moore.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. If you don't
remember,
know
Kenya
him,
got it.
Yeah, and all her friends was like, "Who is this?" Like,
because girls,
I don't know
to...
who this is, and I need to do a background check on this man, Carly. So
he just
Carly, if you're
up.
Looking and you're listening. Bitch, I'm gonna be looking this nigga up.
Yeah. So I got a quick question. So you said y'all been messing around. Mm-hmm. Y'all been messing around for 10 years and then he finally settled down. So I was messing with somebody for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a ring. And yeah, it didn't work out because I'm single again. So I want to know, how did y'all keep that going? Like, because I lost mine, man. I had that ring for like 6 months and game was over.
Oh, no.
Like,
well, I think it's just that we were always so close, like growing up, you know, together.
Yeah.
And like, we never were official. So we just kind of like were in and out. It wasn't nothing, you know, where I get mad at him about being with no other girl. He ain't gonna get mad at me about being with no other dude. But when we get together, it's us.
It's like your time was your time.
Right. But
32.
Yeah, but like now, oh no.
No.
But of course, that was just like keeping, I guess, the flame going. Whenever he, you know, he been in the NBA 10 years. So it was like whenever he go to another city, he'll be calling me like, you want to come visit? You know, whatever. So we just kept it.
Well, he not only put a ring on it, but he also put a baby.
Yes.
In it.
She is gorgeous.
And the baby's gorgeous.
She is so gorgeous.
Wait, so what is your ethnic background?
I'm black.
Full black.
Full black. And it's so crazy because we were talking about this because when I posted her and then I guess Shade Room and all the blogs, you posted her, Baller, everybody. And it was just like, I was hearing little chimes and things, you know, about how she looked. And I was just like, well.
But they're saying why she's so fair-skinned.
Why she's so fair-skinned. Yeah. But her dad is not like this thing
that
right
nigga's
here.
Chocolate, though.
He's chocolate, but
took from caramel. the grandparents.
Yeah, but he's chocolate, but he's one of them guys that got chocolate over the time, over years. You look at baby pictures of him, and he's not even that dark.
Quarter 10,
you know?
As he kept getting
older, he was adding.
I mean, you're fair skinned though.
I'm fair skinned.
She's caramel, like honey toasted.
Yeah, and yeah. I know it's not all full black in my background. Down the line, I
mean, we all got something in this place. But no, but your baby, I know, because when we posted the baby and I went back over the Instagram, I was like, okay, the baby definitely is more your skin tone,
right?
But I mean, you never, I mean, the way our melanin is set up,
yeah,
we show up with green eyes, blue eyes,
yeah, she got green eyes,
that's crazy.
Now that's on my family side.
See, some like your
her eyes kind of look like yours, really,
so
like
she got grandparents with light eyes, so.
Yeah, where her aunt, my aunt, her great aunt has light eyes, my uncle had light eyes. His uncle had like that. So I don't know if she took it down the line or
same thing with Masika, baby.
But I know for a fact that's his baby. But she looks like him, but it's just like she's fair skin, but she's only 3 months old, so I know she's gonna get a little darker. Yeah. And
she's
stuff
gonna go
like
through her
on
change.
The next season of Love and Hip Hop. What you mean this ain't my baby?
Suck my what?
Oh my God, she is so beautiful though. I'm so blessed.
So recently we posted a story where there was a report that the ratings in Love and Hip Hop Atlanta dropped.
I saw it.
And people are saying it's because Jocelyn left the show. And I saw how Jocelyn left the show and interviewed her after the fact. Do you think Jocelyn was a good part of the show?
Well, I would never take away what Jocelyn has done for the show. You know, I wouldn't even came on if it weren't for my relationship with Jocelyn. Mm-hmm. So I can't ever take away what she done for the show, but I wouldn't say the show would collapse if she wasn't a part of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She was definitely funny, definitely a big personality. Mm-hmm. But you had people that loved Jocelyn, you had people that hated Jocelyn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you had people that tuned in and wanted to see her, and you had people that might turn it off when she come on the screen. So it's just like, I feel like at the end of the day, she was part of the process of that show. She an OG, you know, she mm-hmm. helped pave the way for the show. And, you know, she should be accredited for that, but I don't feel like was all about her, no.
So who on the show do you hate the most?
Hate the most? Mm-hmm. I really don't hate anybody, Jason, but...
dislike. Let's say dislike them.
Yeah.
Strongly dislike.
Strongly dislike. Like, you can't be in a room with them. Like, game over.
I can be in a room with any of these bitches.
I was going to say, because it feels like...
Because ain't none of them gone fuck with me.
I mean, you're solid, too. You look like... You solid.
You know, even if she wasn't solid,
I know.
I can be in a room with every last one of these bitches on this show, because I'm a grown woman at the end of the day. I can be in the room with them. It just depends on their behavior.
You know what's so crazy though? People that don't know that watch the show, people don't realize how much anxiety is involved in filming the show. Do you ever get anxiety?
Sometimes when it's like,
when you know there's going to be conflict?
Yeah, I'm like, something is going on.
Like, because you can feel it. You feel that energy. Well, I
mean, like, they think we, like, the surprise pop-ups and stuff. They think,
I mean, if you show up if she showed up for lunch with Mimi and there's 5 security guards.
She knows something's going on.
Because there's too many security.
Exactly.
That's how I figured
it
out.
So I used to be like, oh, yeah, I figured it out. I was like, okay, so somebody finna pop up on me. Okay, it's cool. I'm ready.
And so once you see what it is, you mentally just ready to go.
Yeah, I'm ready. Like, I've learned.
See, this is right here. This is what makes me nervous about Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Yeah,
because for me, I would, you know, this is what Hollywood would do. People would start texting each other and trying to resolve it before we film. And you know what? I was like, don't call me.
Don't call me. Well, you might fit in the Atlanta show. Don't call me. Don't text me. I don't talk. I see you when we get to film.
Literally.
We talk about it on camera.
Oh, you straight Memphis.
No, we're not going to do that. Because wherever the conflict took place, that's what we're going to resolve it. You're not going to get to apologize to me.
Or apologize on the phone, then show up and throw a drink on me.
Oh.
Good call on that one.
Wow. Yes, that's too much.
Okay, so when you look at all the mama beefs, you know, Mama D was just on
Wildin'
Out.
Mama D.
Can I just tell you that I liked Mama D before, but I love Mama D now. We did a game called Now You Wild Out. Me and her went against each other. and the topic was cooking, and it was just funny. She's funny.
Mommy G is like, she is so much fun, and she was with the shits. She was so with the shits.
Oh, she was.
She was like, let's get in.
She's always with the shits. And she was one of the first people to give Blessing, my daughter, a gift and all that. She's really sweet.
So when you see the mamas in the show, like, you know, Rashida's mom is in the show.
Uh-huh.
And she's now, you know, she's her mother first. Uh-huh. And then she happens to be in the show. It's Rashida's show, but she's in the show. Mm-hmm. And then recently, like, some fans showed up at a store in Houston and was like attacking her.
Oh, I saw that.
What do you think these shows are right for the mothers to be involved, or do you think it's just all a part of their story, so it's whatever?
I think that whatever a person wants to do, I mean, I think it's very right for them to be involved, because it's reality TV. You know, you wanna people are interested in seeing your family and your where you come from. Like, you just dropped at the sky. We wanna know where you came from. I know I do, watching reality TV. But
have you brought your parents in the show?
Yeah, my dad came on and my mom came on.
What season?
Just this past. Yeah.
Before you didn't, though.
No.
Yeah, because, you know, having interviewed Amber Rose here for a couple hours, gone to the slut walk, being friends with Floyd and him having his strip club, and meeting the strippers, traveling with the strippers, being on private jets with them and having that intimate space and time and talk, like, seeing their kids on the plane with us. And I looked at them as strippers. I didn't look at them as mothers, students, sisters, daughters.
Business owners.
Yes.
Business owners. I mean, and I didn't see them as people that were making $10,000-$15,000 a night.
Yeah. They make easy money very
so I never saw your parents before, and I was wondering, like, why did you choose to not have them a part of telling your story early on in the show?
Well, you know, I was really kind of like supporting coming in Love and Hip Hop, like a supporting cast member.
Your friend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I never got the opportunity really to bring my family on and tell my story until recently.
Mm-hmm.
So once I did, you know, I was like, you know, if my mom wants to come on, bring her on. If my dad wants to come, bring him on. I have no reason not to bring them.
Maybe that's why it feels like you've evolved as a person in the show.
Because
now watching it, you see the family dynamic. You can see you, like, being vulnerable and getting engaged and then being pregnant. I think it's allowing the audience to see you more as a person and
less as somebody
that pops up and with the shits, which is cool.
But
I feel like this season we've been able to see you a lot more, you the person.
Yeah, and I wish it could have been a little bit more, but it's so many of us on the show. It's kind of not even enough time to cover everybody's story the way I know they really want to cover everybody's story. So, I mean, I got my website that I'm working on, so I can, like, release my own footage, IamDyingPeace.com.
Nice.
So I can release my own footage, you know, behind the scenes, me and my family, you know, stuff like that that people don't see.
Your fans go really hard, like, for you anytime.
Oh,
let me tell you how me and Dime connected, okay?
Okay.
I have young writers and whatever. They post hot or not, or who you think got the best pink hair, or who had the best pink outfit. And the fans were going in like, y'all left Jessica Dime out. Y'all left Jessica Dime
they
out.
They were going in. They were tagging me every minute. I was like.
And so I saw a comment that Jessica was saying. She said something. I added her and followed her and DM'd her. And
yeah.
I mean, like, your fans go hard for you.
Yes, I love my fans. Like, I love them. Like, I could be having a bad day and I look on Twitter or look on Instagram and they'll be gonna say something encouraging. And besides all the bad talking on Instagram and the negative stuff, I look past all this stuff, and I just appreciate them for appreciating me, you know, as a person, as an artist, as a TV personality.
Do you think there's something on the show that you wish they covered but they edited out? Is there something, like, in your story that
it's always
a
lot editing out the meat and potatoes?
Yeah,
you know
it's a lot of stuff. Like, my life goes in depth. Like, it's a lot of things, but I feel like I like the way it's evolving. I like the way I'm giving
them. I mean,
it's
setting you up to give a lot more next season.
Yeah, I got a lot more to give. I got a lot more to tell. I got drama, too.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, everything ain't peachy cream like that, but I make sure I'm trying to make it peachy
cream. So you said this season they didn't have a lot of time to show all the story because there's a lot of people. Who should they fire from the show so they have more time next season?
I don't want to get nobody fired. You know, I can't get nobody.
Okay, we ain't gonna say fire. You're gonna say, like, you know,
edit
5 minutes. Edit it out. Edit it out.
Oh,
let's
Lord.
Say edit it out.
Who didn't you like?
Keely. Her name on the show is supposed to be Keely the Boss, but I can't address her.
Who is Keely? I honestly don't remember her.
See?
Just like that.
She gotta go. I'm watching it. I'm like, you know how you, like, restrain and you see somebody messing with your friend and you, like, let me go. I want to get in.
You was doing that watching the TV?
Yeah, because I'm pregnant. I can't do nothing. Like, she messing with Sierra. I'm cool with Sierra Glam. I'm like, oh, I don't like this bitch. But who is Keely? I wish I was there.
Who's Keely? I really don't know
who
that
is. She's the boss.
No. She ain't the damn boss.
Wait, but who
she's
was
the
she?
Boss.
What did she do?
She was just like all over the place. She was just like a shit starter. She was a hater. From me looking at
that's
it.
That's not
me
the girl that Tommy fought in the nail shop.
No.
No, you this was the girl that just Brittany got into it with. Sierra Glam got into it with her. She said, was calling Sierra Glam like a bad wife because she wasn't supporting Shooter.
That's the one where Sierra hit her with the purse?
And she and she threw the marker.
Yeah, that's Keely the boss.
Mm-hmm. And she threw the marker.
But Keely hasn't started nothing with you.
No, I just don't.
She messing
mean,
with
she
her friends.
She's just one of those people that I look at, and I don't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't prejudge people, but
you look at her like, bitch, when you try with me, I'm going to beat you down.
Like, you got an ass whooping waiting for her.
I ain't going to say I got an ass whooping waiting for her, but I got some choice words.
She reminds me of, like, my homegirls from back home back in the day. We be out in the hood eating ice cream, and a motherfucker try the homeboys, and you call up your girl, and she just beat everybody.
Yeah, she don't even need the storyline. They fucking with you. I'm there.
Ask questions later.
Yes. That's all.
We get the details later.
I'm on my way.
So with that accent, I just love to hear you talk. I know you said you rapping. Mm-hmm. So what type of cause you
I'm
Memphis.
Rapping. I've been rapping for years before I was even on Love and Hip Hop. I was rapping.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Cause your tone is dope. I can just
Thank
hear it,
you.
So I can imagine what it is behind the track.
I'm on like my fourth mixtape, Gangsta in the Skirt 4. That's the one I just put out while I was pregnant.
So you need to go do your research.
Gangsta in the Skirt Volume 4.
Yep, it's called King Dime.
We need to work
so
on
your
research.
So now, are you like
game.
Spitting, or are you like doing the whole like?
I'm spitting. I write my music. I come up with my own song ideas. I pick my beats.
Would you let Stevie J produce you?
Stevie J's a beast, by the way.
Yeah,
he's definitely a beast.
I would. I respect Stevie and everything he's done in his craft, but we'll have to do something more modernized. Like I wouldn't do anything where we singing.
Because the shit he got up with Faith, that new shit is dope. To
I
me.
Like it. I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. But yeah, I do music. Like, that's my pride. That's my heart. My music. Like, with Love and Hip Hop, I think my music kind of got lost in there a little bit along the way. Because they like the love.
Yeah,
and they like the hip hop. But
yeah.
It's like they like to know your life story. And your,
now, what you would have loved is Cardi's Baby Shower.
I would have.
Because it was all pink.
Oh.
The entire place was
By
pink.
By the way, y'all, she is Louis Vuitton. Clutch.
Dawn.
Look, she in here icy looking like
Louis Vuitton
a damn.
I'm
braids.
I'm trying, honey.
And Louis Vuitton nails.
I'm doing a little something. Not too much. Not too much.
You doing
I had two baby showers.
Really?
I had one in Memphis.
I didn't get invited.
You invite you.
No, I definitely didn't get invited.
Nope. Nope. You called me and you said, we're doing the baby shower in Atlanta. I would like to invite you. And I said, well, if it's taped for the show, you may want to check with people and let me know. And you never called me back. I said, my feelings were hurt.
But she was busy planning a baby shower. You can't take that personal.
You can't take that personal.
She's invited by, but how many people you have? It was like 80, 90 people?
A lot of people.
So
like, and they kept changing the date because you know how Love and Hip Hop is. They was changing the date because they was trying to get production and get it how I wanted it. And it turned out really beautiful.
I did see it on the show. It looked great.
It did look great. Great.
I mean, the only criticism I have of that baby shower was I wasn't there.
I'm sorry. I got to make it up to you.
Yeah, just let me know. Well, you came today. That made it up to me.
Oh, okay. Good.
What do we have to look forward to this upcoming season? Because you're coming back now. First of all, there has to be a wedding special. I'm going to just tell you right now. If Love and Hip Hop fans, y'all need to be going crazy online. If Mona don't spend the same money she spent to shoot Cardi's baby shower to shoot this baby shower, I'm going to feel some I mean, this wedding, I'm going to feel some type of way.
Yes, you need your own spouse just for the wedding.
It's
going to
be,
because that's that real love.
Thank you
I love y'all so much.
I really appreciate the support, Jason. I really do. And we really are like, we just got through talking to this lady named Nancy Tartt. She's over in Paris, but she's from America. Like, we've already paid her. Like, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful wedding. Like, I would love for it to be on VH1.
Well,
I would love for it to be a special. I'm praying.
In Jesus' name.
Claim it.
Claim
it. It's going to happen. You claim it.
It's
going
to be so beautiful that I wouldn't want that to be missed. I really would. I want my fans to be a part of it.
So would you let Tommy be the bartender?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. Yo, no. You can bartend my wedding, Tommy, because you can make Tommy.
I mean, I got to think about this over the rest of my summer, see how my summer goes. I might invite everybody. I might not.
If you invite everybody to your wedding and a fight breaks out at your wedding, I will be so mad.
I will be so be mad.
Would you be the bitch down in your wedding dress?
Oh, it's over. Like, I'm about to clown.
And then turn up at the reception.
Yeah, and then I'm at the reception.
It's Hollywood Unlocked.
Because I'm already have a change of clothes anyway.
You'd be like,
ready. I'd probably fight a bitch in my wedding gown if they mess my wedding up.
Damn, Hollywood Unlocked, I know we're invited, right?
Yes. All of you guys are invited.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Yes.
I'll text you later.
And y'all got to do
you see how you do people?
No. I got to give you the special invitation. No, I got to send those out. We're getting ready to send out the save a days. And they're going to be like a keepsake. They're going to be like a Paris keepsake. So I have to get your address and everything.
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. It was crazy.
Y'all need to do like a...
live podcast from your wedding.
From your wedding.
We are not doing a live podcast.
That would be dope, Jason. That would
be dope. No, she come, y'all. Look
I would
at
do
it.
I would do it.
That would be so
Wait,
dope.
Listen, so it'd be a Hollywood Unlocked and Jessica Dime collaboration.
Yeah, no, unless Floyd want to get in on the action. But yes, I would love to do that. That would be so dope.
I'm down. You let me know, and anything you need from me, you got our support.
Oh, thank you so much. Absolutely. I need y'all to support my music.
So tell everybody where they can find the music.
Everywhere. Gangsta in a Skirt. Four. It's the Volume fourth four. One. You know, I've been signed to people in the past. I'm independent now, so I'm working, I'm writing. So I need everybody to support my music. Gangsta in a Skirt 4, King Dime.
It's out now. Okay, so I'm going
to
download it right now.
Now it's out right now. And now I'm working on my EP, The Snapback.
The Snapback, clearly.
Clearly. Yeah.
One of the songs on that mixtape needs to be, I Don't Need No Waist Trainer.
Oh! Why you hating? I needed that waist trainer to lose my weight.
I got you, Jason.
The only Thank reason I'm saying it's because on Wildin' Out, I can't really talk about the show, but there was a song that we did.
The waist trainer.
About waist trainers. Yes. And it was so funny.
I don't need no waist trainer, huh?
You don't. Yes, you don't. Your snapback is everything.
I'll tell you what the hook of the song, we said, my waist trainer ain't working. We got that gut. It was funny.
Funny as hell.
That's hilarious.
All right, so the mixtape again?
Mixtape is Gangsta in a Skirt 4. King Dime. It's my fourth one. It's on all outlets.
No, she said King Dime.
King Dime. Yeah, I said that for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Why?
She's the realest nigga in the room right now.
I said that because before my fiance came along, I was pretty much doing everything on my own. No man, no money behind me with a man, my own ideas and everything. And I just feel like I've maneuvered my way through so many situations, even down in Miami for 7 years in a strip club by myself. I ain't had no pimp or no shit like that. I ain't believe in no shit like that. So I was running the streets by myself, and thank God I was covered. I never got robbed, beat, killed, stabbed, none of this stuff.
I ain't
never
been killed.
Yeah, I never got killed.
Nobody tried to kill you.
Yeah, you know, something
could have
happened to me.
It's real.
It's doing it, and I just feel like I done so much, and I feel like I've conquered things that women don't usually do by themselves. Like, I feel like men usually, most men look at me that know me and that are my friends and don't look at me in a lust type of way. They be like, I'm proud of you. You a soldier. Like, so that's why I say King Dime, because I feel like
I'm glad you made it through. And I'm glad you made it here. And anytime you want to come back, you're more than welcome.
I'm in LA for the summer, so everybody hit me up. Your girl in town.
She's here. Okay. All right. Well, we out of here, everybody. Peace.
Peace.
See ya. Thank you.
Davida D was here last week. She was our in studio guest, sitting in back here, and you almost went viral because people were laughing at your reactions because you were just yesing and knowing and and you was in the conversation.
Like somebody auntie.
You know it. Auntie was in it. I was like,
So I feel it was important to have you here for our hot topics. And the beautiful Verana Obeng is here. Jesus. I've actually been on your show, The Sack. So is The Sack really named after the ball sack?
No, a lot of people think it's named after male anatomy. It's not. The sack is kind of, it's not an acronym. It means like, kind of like pillow talk. So the sack, like the deepest, most private conversations you have with like your partners or your friends. we have them out loud and share them with the world.
And friend of our show, Laura Govan, is one of the co-hosts. Yes. And your Melissa Ford.
Our Melissa Ford.
We have a Melissa Ford and you have
and
a Melissa
And we have
Ford.
A Melissa Ford. So.
I love Melissa. You know, Melissa, what I love about her is she is a good friend. When you have a friend like Rihanna and a powerhouse like that and be as loyal to her and just keep have her back all the way through. I love her. I just watch her. I've watched her over the years. Be a good friend, and that's what I like about her, and the fact that she can smoke a blunt like our Melissa Ford.
Well, she's not just a down friend to Rihanna, but that's how she is with all of her close friends. She's just a genuine, real, amazing woman. So, yeah. And she will blaze up anywhere, anytime, any place.
Well, all of you seem that way. I mean, I did your show, and it was really interesting. I'm never in a room with three women. Not talking about shit that women talk about.
Like she's talking about giving head.
Well, even then, I mean, you know, I'll sit around with girls like, girl, how you suck it? Like, I don't do that. But on their show, I try to do my best.
Mm. I haven't seen your seen it, but I'm definitely going to watch that motherfucker now.
So the second season drops in September. Summer's a really busy time for us with our schedules and everything going on. So we took a break and we're coming back in the fall for season two.
Oh, that's dope. Okay. Congratulations.
Well, and I love the photo shoot you all did too. You guys were actually in the sack.
Literally. Half naked in the sack, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You would definitely have enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
And so, Davida, you're out here, Wildin' Out is on hiatus until October. What are you doing?
Oh, so I'm out here. I'm at Quake House. I'm on Kevin Hart Laugh Out Loud Radio on Sirius XM96.
That's dope.
Yes, darling. So I've been doing that, loving it, and having a great time. I'm loving LA. I must say, I'm a Brooklyn girl, but this is what's up.
Yeah, I talked about Kevin on my interview with Nick Cannon, where I just said, keep your little dick in your pants. But, you know, everybody that hears me talking, just know that the stuff I say is all for entertainment. It's all humor. I literally say what I'm thinking. And I feel like I'm always wrongfully attacked because everything I say, there are people sitting there.
I don't think you're wrongfully attacked. Sometimes you do deserve it. Some of your sound bites have kind of thrown me like, ooh.
But listen, here's the deal. When you are in the sack with your girls, or when you're in the sack with your boys.
Fuck you, asshole.
No gay pun intended. You know, we all say things to our friends that we wouldn't say in public. I just say them in public. Anyway, I enjoy it.
I mean, some people are savage, Jason, sometimes.
Hey, yesterday I did some really shady shit. So look, I was on live talking to the fans.
I saw that.
Did you?
I saw it.
I was talking to the fans and I saw Prince from Love & Hip Hop Miami on. So I went live with him on Instagram. You know, 1.2 million followers. I don't know what he has, but we're talking to all these people and we're talking and I'm like, yeah, so did you fuck Mariah Lynn? Because I saw them pictures where she was in your lap and he was like, hey, you know, doing what niggas do when they either did or didn't do it. But he was like, you know, being really shady with it. Well, one of the fans watching called Mariah.
And she got.
And of course.
And so she got on the live and she was going in. So I logged him out and logged her in and she went in on him, and then I logged her out and logged him back in.
Messy McMessy.
Yes. That is savage.
Let me get Messy McMessy.
Messy McMessy. I'm going to get that and put that on a shirt. So yesterday in the news, Demi Lovato was rushed to the hospital, apparently from an alleged overdose. What people are saying is heroin or opioids. What do you think about it? Where were you when you heard about it?
I was waking up in the morning. And I was scrolling on my Instagram. You know, everybody check their Instagram when they first wake up. And I saw it. It's just something about when I first see that TMZ breaking news, I'm always prepared for like, damn, okay, who done died?
Yeah.
And before I scroll down and see that she had allegedly overdosed, I seen her face and I said, oh no. Because I had seen her documentary on YouTube Red, which was a very, very heartfelt, deep documentary. But when I seen that she had overdosed on heroin, I said, Jesus Christ, that ain't no light drug.
It ain't. You never offer heroin. That's the thing. Like if you take heroin, you're on an OPI for the rest of your life. Like, Jesus. Honestly, I seen it the same thing. I woke up, I was on the Instagram, and I was like, oh, I'm really hoping this is fake news. Mm-hmm. But it was the real thing. And I was like, not my girl, Demi. I really love her. You know, I loved working with her, too. So, prayers up, baby. Prayers up.
When I was locked up, unfortunately, I know what it looks like when somebody is overdosing on heroin, and it's not pretty. Or when somebody's trying to kick it. Well, it's not pretty at all.
I've been open here about being a child of foster care and the group home foster care system. My mother was a heroin addict. And one of my earliest memories of my mom, I remember during the addiction stages of her life, was when I ran away from the center where they kept all the kids. It was hundreds of kids. You know, it was like where they drop them off before they figure out where they go.
Center.
The center. Mary Graham Children's Shelter. But anyway, when I was there, I remember running away to go find my mom, and I remember she was shooting up in a hotel, and I remember her passing out while it, like, mid shooting up, passing out with the needle still stuck in her arm. So I know how crazy that drug is. So for me, what I was more shocked was, and I've told, you know, people know that I'm the one that got Demi to perform for Floyd in the Conor McGregor fight. How humble she is, nice she was, how gracious she was in making sure that she took photos with everybody. I would have never looked at her and said, this girl's on heroin.
I said the same thing.
So it's just, it's crazy that even with like Jennifer Lewis being here and saying what bipolar disorder looks like, we don't know what does heroin look like? What does bipolar disorder look like? So I did a video yesterday and posted it on Hollywood Unlocked, where I was saying, like, let's start having more compassion and stop saying, why is she doing this really dirty drug? Or why does all that matter when a person...
Addiction's addiction. And
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to her and sending love to her and Reese and their entire team. But it was really sad.
Yeah.
But the thought that these people could just leave it. I mean, any of us. Time isn't promised to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Life is precious. Yeah, definitely prayers up on Demi. She's a beautiful person, y'all. Prayers up, boo.
So do any of you know anybody that's struggling with an addiction or have had anybody in your life that struggles with addiction?
I mean, I'm struggling with addiction, but not no drug addiction.
Alcohol.
Sex? Because that's what I'm addicted to.
Not really alcohol. It's
please don't say masturbation.
No, it's just sexual things. Like, I got that Kirk Franklin problem.
Really?
Yeah.
What masturbating? That was his problem.
Anything that's related to sex. I just can't stop.
I'm sorry.
You know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean, because I'm addicted to sex. I love sex. I love
it. I think there's a key difference, though, between liking sex, engaging in sex, and
like going outside and masturbating in front of schools because you need to see little girls and little
boys.
No, I'm saying,
that's very illegal. But
yeah.
But no, I
feel like you like, if you need it, like, you'll just sleep with someone that otherwise, when you're in your clear head, you...
I can't operate until I please myself or have somebody please me. Like, right now, I'm just thinking about it.
Do you put yourself, like, at danger and risky situations?
What'd you say?
Do you put yourself in danger and risky situations?
No, of course not.
I think that's when it becomes addiction. Otherwise, really? You're just a grown-up. You're just like, a man.
Listen.
Masturbate before you come to work?
Listen, I've been up this morning, so. You know, man, I had somebody in my house last night, and we were talking about, you know, like, how much we both masturbate. And they were like, you know, I don't really know if I could, you know, fuck around tonight because, you know, I didn't came four times. And I'm like, you came four times. It's only 10 p.m.
Yeah, you know? That sounds about right.
But I understand.
I can go months without sex.
Oh, hell no. I can't.
I can.
No. Oh, I
got
to masturbate. I
feel
something.
Like that part of my brain shuts down if I'm focused on something else. And it's, I love sex.
Well, you'll be a great girlfriend because, I mean, you're trustworthy.
Wow, because I need to, like, but masturbate something. I can't go months without sex.
I don't need it to focus.
I need to focus.
Pornhub is in my browser right now.
Okay.
Right. He's looking at it right now.
But, you know,
now.
The thing now where I'm, now, this is where I think I don't share an addiction. I mean, like, literally, I don't know if I can go months without sex or days without any type of anything. But I will say that you do know you have a problem when you log into Pornhub or XXNX. And you've seen all the videos? Like, I've seen all the videos. Like, I know, I feel like I've had sex with people. I'm like, well, okay, he gonna come fast. This one swallows.
You actually know.
Oh, I know the scene and everything.
I've went a
You
year.
Definitely.
When you check Pornhub before Instagram, when you roll over in the morning,
if you look at my browser pages right now,
Pornhub is your friend.
I will say that when I do find somebody really sexy in a video, I do try to find them. I go to Facebook, Twitter. I've actually.
Don't be shaking his head like this is normal behavior.
I've actually reached out to the porn companies and said, listen.
This one right here.
This one I want to get out the game. What's that phone number?
This one right here.
We're gonna start a prayer circle afterwards.
But you know, it doesn't. I just like it. But moving on.
I like it too. I'm free spirit. I do, you know, both men and women. So, you know, I'm free. I enjoy sex. I really enjoy it.
Lexi Hairdo, you do both men and women.
Oh, hell yeah. Don't get it twisted, baby.
First
I'm very
of all,
free.
We love Lexi.
Congratulations
to Lexi, who just got married not too long ago.
Congrats,
Lexi. Congrats.
You know, one thing that I'm struggling with that I've been struggling forever, and this is what I mean, I've been doing better since I've been back from Wilding Out, but I really want to get in shape. I've been hiking every day. I'm now going to the gym. I've been meal planning. I'm drinking my water. I even went and got my colon cleanse the other day, and I'm going again today.
Jason, let me tell you this.
But wait, let me tell you.
Go ahead.
The thing that is bothering me now that's actually motivating me is that
there's something preventing me from executing it. That now is, now that's giving me the drive to do it, because it's just like, I feel like I could do anything I want and put in anything I put my mind to. It's not aesthetics or whether this or that, or I'm having heart or cholesterol. It ain't none of that. It's just that this is the thing that I feel I can't conquer right now.
Well, Jason, let me remind you and let me give you some credit and let me pat yourself in the back, because you lost, actually, you were way bigger than this, Jason. Remember
that?
You
was, bro.
You lost a lot of weight. You look great.
Well, see, but even then, it's just like, okay, if I think about it, I own my own company, so I do what I want to do whenever I want to do it. I don't have my own time. I have the time to do it. I live, I ain't going to tell where I live, but.
Where I do live. Where you live at. Where I do live.
Getting to a gym is not a problem.
It's really not.
And I have the gym membership to the best gyms in the country.
So what's the problem? What's stopping you?
That right there is what's motivating me to figure out. So I just, and this is going to sound crazy too. Before I went and did Love and Hip Hop, I signed up and got all my health care taken care of. So I got my fit, my mental, my dental, and my physical health care covered.
Yeah.
So I can literally sit down and figure out what is it that's blocking me from doing it. It ain't not having, I mean, I have all the resources.
It's like,
it's willpower. It's willpower. I have five children. And if I didn't.
No.
If I didn't.
You have five kids?
Yeah. And I'm.
Like
came out of my vagina.
You pushed them out?
So the viewers, yeah. The viewers are hearing this right now. Just stand up real quick.
Oh my God! You pushed him out?
Yeah.
God damn! I got no reason not to be slim thick. You look good, girl.
Thank you, but it's willpower. Like at a certain point, after like the third or fourth, and then the fifth one, it's Jason. I had to make up my mind. All the gym memberships, personal trainers. This guy would come to my house, to my gym, and sit by himself, and I'd be upstairs drinking coffee, talking on the phone. He's like, "Veronica, your hour's gonna end." I'd be like, "Okay."
Your trainer?
I'll come down there in a little, and I would stretch, and I would leave. But it gets to us, you know, whatever.
You did a lot of stretching because your body fit.
No, but then I just made up my mind. I would rather my body be beautiful and how I want it than you just make up your mind one day.
I think the problem with me is the reason why, because I know I can lose weight like that because I'm a natural athlete. So I'm like, I don't feel like going, but I know when I do decide, it's easy breezy for me.
You know, but this is where, like, now.
12 years of professionally dancing, it's a breeze to get this off.
But then you need to get the breeze because you're supposed to be the sex symbol. So
I am a sex symbol. Do you think I'm handsome?
Don't answer that, girl. Don't answer that.
It's the light eyes. I know you trick a lot of women with those light eyes.
Girl, you shouldn't answer.
The baby face.
No, it's just because.
Oh, I'm impervious to pretty boys, honey.
No. I'm a pretty thug.
Okay, but anyway, we're not gonna lie on the show. So the thing, for example, I did the whole vegan thing where I literally just I wanted to try vegan. So my willpower to try it happened. I did 30 days. I lost 18 pounds, felt the best I ever had. Yeah. I don't know. Then I went to drinking again. And see, that has been another thing.
You know why?
Find your balance.
No, there is no balance with me.
It's hard for you not to drink in this life that you live, Jason.
I know.
But drinking helps me. And you know what's funny? When I became a vegetarian is where I gained all my weight. Like I went from like a size 4 to like a 16 being vegan and a vegetarian.
What type of vegan were you eating?
Shit. Let me tell you. I was eating them lettuce, pasta, them carbs. It was the carbs. And as soon as I decided to start eating chicken, like all jokes, I went from like a 3X to where I'm at now, which is like
no, because you came back to Wildin' Out this season, and I remember walking by you like, bitch, you hitting cracker, what's going on?
Don't be jealous hearted.
Yeah, I dropped that in a few months.
But like, Jason, I weigh more than you. That's crazy.
Listen, that's bone structure, that's height, that's all types of things. Mm-hmm. But you know, this guy that I know from Houston who does my grill, shout out to King Dave. He lost 100 pounds, but he got a procedure done. See, I don't want
to. You don't need that.
Oh, no, you don't need to do the procedure.
I don't want to do that for two reasons. It's not, I mean, he did a gastric sleeve, but he lost 100 pounds. He looks amazing, but now he has to take all these pills for the rest of his life.
Oh, no.
And I have to learn how. My friend said it to me. He said, you know, you literally have to treat the gym like brushing your teeth. Like, you're not going to leave the house without brushing your teeth. You're not going to leave the house without going to the gym. That's one thing. The other thing is, I think there's self-love in there too, where you have to make you the priority before everybody else, before you deal with the world. Mm-hmm. It's like, let me get me right and then do it. So the hiking has been good because it's literally my only time by myself. It's at 6:30 in the morning, peaceful. And I'm actually walking and like enjoying trees and looking at,
your brain is thinking.
If you think about it, all I do is get up and work. Leave, get on a plane or travel or get in a car.
It's important to spend some quality time with yourself.
For sure.
Like, it doesn't have to, like, meditation to me, you can do it anytime. And, like, when you're alone, walking, hiking, like, that's a great time to center yourself and talk yourself out of drinking a fifth of vodka later.
Well, I'm about to do the keto diet.
Really?
What's that?
You got like 13 meals.
It's like the hottest right now. Diet on the planet right now.
Yeah, it is, actually.
You don't have to eat every day. I'm about to do that shit. Mm.
Okay, well, listen, those of you listening, drop your comments into the YouTube and tell us what you do to get in shape. But at break, Gio, you brought up Wild 'N Out. I totally forgot about this scene.
Hey, man, people are stopping me talking about your Jasonisms on fucking Wild 'N Out, man. Yeah. Can't believe you kissed that boy in the mouth.
Listen, were you there when I kissed him?
Yes, savage, baby.
Well, let me tell you the reason why I kissed him. Because...
Wait, can we just... Is he straight?
No.
Fuck, oh, hell!
No, not...
Oh,
the man you're
No.
He's I just need to clarify because I wasn't... Okay.
When I knew he was coming to the show, what I said was, this season, I heard that I was being doubted by one of the producers. And even though Nick has my back and he's fighting for me, I felt like I heard I was being doubted. So what I said to myself was, I'm going to literally go all the way out. And so I had done some other crazy stuff. Like, there's a scene that's not going to air because it was too hot for TV. But my first joke, I came out and I said, ask Nick to suck his dick. And then I took a sucker out of his mouth and put it in mine. So, I mean, that was my first joke. First time on the stage. Were you there that day?
Hell yeah. We talked about that. We were like, you knew they was going to edit it, though.
What was the reaction on
everybody was just like, whoa, just the same way. Everybody was like, oh my God, did that just happen? You should have seen Nick's face, though. It was priceless.
But that was my first out the gate because I said, like, if I'm going to commit to being messy and being gay and all that, I'm going all the way the fuck out. I'm asking the boss to suck his motherfucking dick.
Be committed with that shit.
Plus,
commit,
I heard Nick had
commit.
A nice dick. And, you know, he's having all these issues with women. So why not? We just try something new. But no, anyway, so after that. But I kissed Bobby because I kissed Bobby because I said, anytime I'm going to be on TV now, I'm going to use my platform to create a conversation that pushes an agenda. So I felt like there had never been men in any comedy show from Def Jam mm-hmm. to Wildin' Out to anything where two men have kissed on television. So I said, this is going to be the show. And I did it. And I did it with somebody that was from Love & Hip Hop because I knew them us both being on Love & Hip Hop. All the Love & Hip Hop blogs would talk about it.
Man,
and smart.
And I did it.
You snatched that little nigga like Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. You said, get over here.
Yo, you saw how he throw him down, though? Did you see that throwdown?
The mic,
oh,
man.
My
well,
gosh.
Jason, you keep doing what you're doing, brother. But
you know, the niggas that are stopping you on the street saying, man, I saw Jason kiss that nigga on TV. Them the new niggas sliding my DMs because you know what it is. Because the way I grabbed him, I did grab him really, I grabbed him like a nigga.
You did.
You grabbed him like a nigga.
I showed my secrets.
Is that what's happening?
Now we all know how Jason do it in the bedroom. We be like, bring that ass.
Because, you know, like some of these boys, they be like, come here, daddy. No, we not kissing. Like, get your ass over here.
Yeah, we know this. That's exactly how you did them. Bring that ass over here.
Shout out to MTV for letting me do that. Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right, so Tekashi. What do you guys think about Tekashi 6ix9ine?
Get the sticky out!
He posted a photo. That's an excerpt from one of his songs.
Yeah, it's not me. I don't got Tourette's or none.
You sure?
Speaking of Tourette's, on the show that's airing today, I talked about a nigga I met with Tourette's syndrome. He's so fine, but his face is covered in tattoos. That's just like, you know, whatever. It's sexy, but he has this really aggressive Tourette, so there's no way we could date. Anyway, Tekashi posted a photo. Tekashi posted a photo where he was beat up and he said he was robbed. A lot of people were saying it's a publicity stunt because he's a troll. I mean, he trolls online.
He's smart at it.
What do you guys think?
He real smart.
I ain't gonna lie. I first thought it was him just doing another Tekashi fucking stunt because immediately after this, his song with Nicki Minaj drops, Fifi. Yeah. So I thought it was fake at first, but apparently it's not.
Yeah, I was surprised though. That Fifi, you know, you listen to the lyrics
like
to that.
I like it.
I like it. He was like, yo, if Nicki's not getting none, I'm not getting none, you got to go. I love that line. It was special for me. But as for like his kidnapping, I thought it was fake too, especially because of the timing and the marketing and PR. This is, hey, you about to drop Fifi. So let me see what I can do to get everybody's attention. But it's sad to hear that that really happened to him. Sorry for your situation, baby. Hugs all day.
Yeah. So I saw him here in L.A. Last week. He went to the celebrity basketball game. You were there. Mm-hmm. You know, I connected with his people and I'm going to hopefully link up with them in New York because I will tell you, as much as I didn't like him when he first came in the game, I'm fascinated by how he's been able to disrupt the entire industry.
Yeah.
Like he's disrupted the entire, from coast to coast, every hood. He said, yo, this is the king of New York. I'm like, wow, no Nas, no Jay, no Big, no, you the king. But I love, but it reminded me back when I first started doing what I was doing. And I said to Floyd Mayweather said, come over here and let me tell Showtime that you're the number one blogger in the world. I said, I'm not. He said, well, why? I said, well, because Perez Hilton is the king of this shit. He started it. Yeah. And Karen Civil got more followers than I do. He said, fuck all that. Being number one is a mentality, not a fact. And the fact is, now looking back, I've had I've had Perez here on our show, and we got twice as many followers as Karen. So now, I mean, we're still growing. We're still in the infancy stage. So what I love is that he came in saying, I'm the fucking king.
What a 50 Cent cosign.
Yes.
Please don't. You're just making the water just so messy. I'm really asking what 50 said.
Like, well, 50 is a genius too.
I like 50 Cent. This whole Floyd 50
it's genius.
Thing has been stressful for me.
What do you think about it?
Why?
As a human being, like the back and forth of two successful
black men. To, bring everybody up to
speed. So the situation, if you don't know, but of course you do, this whole back and forth with 50 and Floyd, them feuding online, spilling each other's tea back and forth, kind of what were personal secrets, personal things exchanged, now making it public. I don't even know why they're mad at each other.
I really don't either.
So, but it's a lot.
I think the thing is that 50 is the master troll on Instagram. He knows how to
get the strap.
He knows how to get the strap, right? And, and he's brilliant at marketing on Instagram. He knows how to make shit go viral. Plus, power is coming out, okay? But you know, he started that whole Floyd couldn't read stuff a while ago. And Floyd can read. I mean, Floyd is not a scholar where he's sitting up reading Shakespeare, but he can read. I mean, you can't do teleprompters. You can't do.
That's just not easy.
Yeah, I mean, reading a teleprompter is hard for me. But it's just not. Reading in general, he can read. And so when he started that whole movement before, that kind of stuck. And I know that that's irritated Floyd. I've had dinner with 50 Cent where I talked about on the show where I said, hey, you know Floyd Carey. He's like, yeah, I know. That's my brother. I love him. So they have this love-hate relationship. But now I think it's just escalated.
It just crossed the line where it went from like maybe a publicity stunt to like it seems like two people that genuinely like are going at each other. It's a little too raw for me. Like it makes me uncomfortable reading it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, which part is the kids or the...
When they started talking about one another's children, but then also the murder-suicide.
Yeah, that murder-suicide was
like, really I just don't think you play about stuff like that. Like someone's child really lost their life and it was a horrific crime. So when it starts to go there, it goes from... I'm thinking about Power, and I should catch up with I'm just uncomfortable.
Now you don't
want to
watch Power.
I'm just uncomfortable.
Yeah, it makes you very uncomfortable. That murder-suicide made me uncomfortable. I was like, okay, this is no longer us, like, jokes back and forth.
Right.
It's getting real serious. It's getting really personal. And I feel like them two fine brothers, baby, get it together, y'all. Please stop fighting.
Well, Floyd actually talked about the murder-suicide here. He's only talked about it here. And so what I did was I posted the story saying, 50 resurfaces the death of Floyd's friends in this feud. Then I put the video where Floyd said Floyd was emotional. Floyd's not an emotional guy. For him to get you were here during that interview. For him to get emotional and recount the story, I thought, okay, it's to a point now where let me get on to Miami and let me see Floyd face to face so we can figure out how we can get past all this. Because I don't see any good coming from it, you know? Right. And I think, they're both... They have so much history together that they were really close friends. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you the silver lining in this whole thing I'm watching. Because I'm reading the 48 Laws of Power. Mm. Watch those motherfuckers that are close to you. The closest people to you are literally sitting there plotting how once they get right there where they can take your spot, they just push you right over the fucking edge. And the sad part about it is when Drake said no new friends, I really now feel...
I definitely got that.
So when people are like, how you meet people in Canada and Spain and London? Yeah. These motherfuckers don't know Love and Hip Hop. They don't know Wildin' Out. Once they get my Instagram, it is what it is. But at least we can develop a relationship that ain't about all the shit y'all are interested in.
Yeah.
But even then, you never know. I don't know. It's just really, it really scary that you can have this experience and be close to then when something goes left, it all just goes.
Right. And you spill things that I think you should keep. Even when the friendship is over, it's certain secrets you keep out of like common respect.
You take that 6 feet deep. You take it to the grave. Those secrets, that murder, suicide, when that came out, that's something you're supposed to take to the grave. Like, wow.
Well, listen, Floyd 50, we pray that y'all get it together.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.